Hi everyone, I'm Alfie. Welcome to the Profit, People and Productivity Podcast. On here, I'm going to be talking to different agency founders and leaders about the three P's that are essential to every agency. Today, I'm with Anna. Anna is the owner of We Create Digital and the CEO of Refinery. Refinery is a platform that allows agency founders and leaders to have visibility over the operations of the agency, the finances of the agency, and track leads and productivity. So Anna, you're the owner of We Create Digital. So before you started We Create Digital, what were you doing? What was Anna's life about? What were you into before you decided to set up your own agency and run it?
So I began my career actually in public affairs. So corporate affairs, public affairs, lobbying, lots of different terms for it. I came in straight out of university, went into a small agency and quite quickly decided I wanted to focus on healthcare. And then I think after about 2-3 years, I then moved on to a larger agency, much bigger agency, and really just joined the healthcare team and worked my way up there. And I worked across a range of clients. So I worked with huge pharmaceuticals like AstraZeneca, Roche, Bayer. I also worked with smaller healthcare charities like Kidney Research UK. And my role was really much more on just the delivery of the work. So I was a senior account manager when I finished at MHP. And I was responsible for managing and overseeing projects, and I would do some work on proposals, but I had no other involvement really in sort of the top level of management. So I had a very different life. The way I ended up at We Create Digital was actually working on digital projects for AstraZeneca, and I realised that was an area that I wanted to do a lot more of. And so that's what helped me sort of do the transition to then We Create Digital. And I joined as a director, and now I'm managing director, so it's been a bit of a journey from where I started. It's not one where I thought I was going to go. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to carry on working in public affairs and around politics. But you just never know once you get started in your career where things are going to take you.
Yeah. Was there a particular event that made you decide, okay, I'm definitely going to go for this? Because it's a huge difference
between
being in-house and working and doing what you do. Obviously, you're good at what you do. But to then say, I'm going to leave all this behind and this is my new journey, this is my new focus. What was there something that triggered that?
I got pregnant.
Okay.
So
that's a good enough reason.
It was a huge life-changing difference. And I didn't think that I was ever going to be doing something different. I thought maybe I'll end up going in-house, but still public affairs. But then after my maternity leave, I went back and I actually handed in my resignation on my third day back. So by day one, at the end of day one, I was thinking, hang on a second, I don't know if this is actually right for me anymore. Mm. Obviously, your lifestyle changes. And I was commuting to London. It was very full on. And I thought, do I want to carry on doing this? Do I want to stick at this and having to really work my way up? Or do I want to take a different approach and go in and be in a smaller agency and be able to grow that, but from a different end of it? And it was a really tough decision. I got advice from other people who worked in the industry. We had a former mutual colleague who I spoke to. And she was like, no, stick it out. Try 6 months, see what you think. And on day three, I sent her a message going, yeah, actually, no, I couldn't last 6 months. I lasted 3 days. Mm. And I think at no point have I ever gone, that was the wrong decision.
Yeah,
I've not looked back and gone, oh, I should have changed this. So that's quite satisfying.
That's an interesting thing because I find an event like pregnancy could go either way because some people, you know, will get pregnant or something happens in their lives and they feel they want to double down on security because that's what you have in a 9-to-5, right? Is, you know, every day you get your paycheck and, you know, you get on with work and it's sort of a less risky life, less risky approach to things. But, you know, it's I find it interesting that you went the other way. You got pregnant and you go, oh, let me take a risk.
Yeah.
Right, which is the opposite of what most people do is they go, oh, this has happened now. I need to make sure I'm able to provide. I need that security. So I find that interesting.
I think part of it comes from the fact that when you're on maternity leave, depending on where you work, you don't get full pay.
Mm.
So you end up actually seeing what it's like having to live off, not a 9-to-5 salary, because you're on a much reduced rate.
Yeah.
And then you realise, oh, no, I can live like this. And actually, do I want to go back to where I have to do 9-to-5 for that salary? Or do I want a different kind of lifestyle. And actually, I think it becomes, there are different factors that then become a priority. So I think when you're younger, often thinking about money, money probably is a bit of a, it's higher up on the list. Mm. I think having had a child, flexibility was the top item on my list for what I needed to prioritise. And everything else then worked around that. But it's why you see lots of people who have a child and then set up their own business because they've gone, well, actually, I've seen what it's like. I need to have a career or job that works around my life, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've seen what it's like to have not as much money because, frankly, maternity pay, it's not the best.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah, I find that interesting. So my question to you is, did you always have an entrepreneurial side to you, entrepreneurial spirit? Because, again, people that work 9 to 5, which is, you know, 99% of the population, don't, it's not that they don't want, if you could make a hypothetical ready-made business for someone and say to the person, oh, here's a business, it's, you know, we'll run it for you, we'll do all this. I think there are people that actually have services like that where they set up, you know, e-commerce website businesses and they just hand it over to you. But most people want that, but they're just not built for it, right? So I think, or actually I'm wondering, you must have had some sort of, you know, I don't know, entrepreneurial side to you though, because I've worked in agencies for a very long time, right? And 99% of the people I've worked with, they wouldn't give up, you know, the 9 to 5 for anything. They might move from one agency to another, but to actually go from working in an agency to running an agency, you know, I think only a handful of people would actually do that and do it well. Because you've been running We Create for a while now, and you know, it's obviously successful, so you've done a lot of things right. So yeah, I'm just curious about, are you like a natural entrepreneur that you probably don't even know you are, or is it kind of like a nurture kind of thing rather than a nature?
I think it's a little bit of a mix. I did that classic, I was one of those ones at school who sold things to my friends.
Okay.
So I started up with stickers,
right,
moved up to jewelry,
right,
and then when I was at university I got a job, and then realized it was much easier to have a life at university if you could have a bit more money. So I then got another part-time job working in another shop, and then they ended up actually asking if they could stock some of the jewellery that I sold.
Right.
So I ended up, and it didn't intend to work out that way. Yeah. And then I thought, well, actually, if I keep on making a few more things. And so I think I've had sort of ambitions to be able to make my own money and not to just live off that salary that I get given. And I think that was one thing as well that was drawn to me, where it was, I could either go work at the 9 to 5 and I could work and get that salary, or I could work in a business that I run, and if I work really hard, put more into it, I could make more than that salary. Because ultimately, when you're in a big agency, there's so much more to it. So even if you do the absolute best you do, you hit your targets. If the company has other parts of the team who aren't hitting their targets, there's nothing that you could do about that. So your salary is always going to be a fixed level. That is subject to so many other factors. But with having your own agency, you can see, well, hang on, I've just got off this big contract or this big project. It's going to be a squeeze to take it on, but if I take it on, I get the reward. I can take that and make the most of it.
Yeah.
And that's quite attractive to go, well, actually, it feels like your time has a bit more value. So,
and you're more in control of your destiny, basically.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, yes, and then something like COVID happens, and then suddenly you're not.
Yeah.
But as much as you can be. But again, if you're working in a big agency, something like COVID comes along, again, your job could just be cut.
Yeah.
Whereas, for example, when COVID did happen, we just worked flat out.
Mm-hmm.
And within a couple of months, we were the busiest we'd ever been.
Yeah.
And we made it happen. We made calls to clients. We explained what they would need to do. We gave advice. And it wasn't a case of just us trying to sell and make money out of it. We were genuinely worried about our clients. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to see anyone fail, go under. They had jobs. So many people relying on them. So if we could help them make their digital work more of a success and replace what had happened physically, then it benefited everyone.
Yeah.
So we put a lot of time in. So yeah, you're right, control was a big part.
Yeah, I heard a lot of those stories during COVID. Again, it went either way. Some agencies, I think depending on the industries, to be honest, some agencies struggled in that period. So they, Of course, there was a lot of uncertainty with clients. So clients cut budgets, client paused work, some clients just disappeared, where others, you know, especially in the digital space, I think the ones in the digital space scaled a lot more than the others. Mm. So yeah, that is interesting to hear that. So on the piece of moving from in-house agency to running your own agency, what are some of the challenges you'd say you face, like specific challenges with running an agency versus being in-house in an agency?
You go from having to deliver the day-to-day work to suddenly having to do 5 different jobs. Mm. So you become the head of HR, you become the head of marketing, of sales, but you're also still having to often do the actual work yourself. So, and which is also just admin. You don't necessarily have an admin person who can go and organise diaries, set up calls, organise pat testing, all the little things that you didn't even have to worry about.
Finance.
I'll get on to finance and say finance is the biggest one of all. But all those little things that there was a team for. There wasn't just one person, there'd often be a team. So there's a whole HR team, a whole IT team, a whole team where you could just go, I need help, and they would just deal with it.
Yeah.
And then finance. Yeah, finance was a huge part because I'd never had to worry about paying tax before. Obviously, I just paid tax through my payslips. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah. You just got your take-home money and that was it.
Yeah.
You didn't need to worry about anything else. Yeah.
So, and obviously when I had my part-time work at university, I did have to get an accountant help with that, but I just kind of handed everything over. Yeah. And it was so simple. It was but small.
Yeah.
Such a small scale in comparison to an agency and then clients and having to work out that and when you have to pay. Mm. And I think the biggest challenge for us was actually the accountant who we had when we first started, who was part of the agency before I joined, wanted everything by fax.
Fax?
I've never used a fax machine in my life.
105.
Something like that. And everything would have to be by fax. And just trying to get to the bottom of where all the finances were and then get on top of how we were going to manage it. Mm. So understand even things like timelines, when tax was due. I'd never had to think about that before. Yeah. And that was probably the biggest barrier at first as growing any bigger because we just had to try to understand what it was and to make sure that as we grew, we were on top of that because cash flow is obviously so crucial. And understanding on projects, are we profitable? It was a huge, huge area that, although we had an accountant, it's not the same.
No.
It's not the same. I needed a finance person in-house, but we're too small for a finance person. And we looked at various systems and tools, but nothing felt like it fitted our needs or even our size because we were so small. And some of the figures that were quoted, it was like, well, I don't know if I can justify that. I don't have a budget line for this. Or I might do, but I need to figure out, do I have a budget line for this? So it's a big circle that you end up just going round.
Yeah.
So finance was the absolute biggest challenge.
Yeah. So I think with it, you're correct in that sense of having you get comfortable in an agency. Everything's done. You don't even need to think about anything. It just runs. You just need to deliver. You do your part of, you know, being working in an agency. But when you go and set yours up, completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked with people. I used to work in big agencies like yourself. And some of the people I worked with at the time in these agencies, they were MDs or directors or some even account directors. And then, you know, something happened and they decided to go set up their own agencies. And I think there's the mindset shift that has to happen, which I find very amusing, to be honest, sometimes, because some of those people I currently work with them now, or worked with them at some point on a consulting level, but the same people, when they worked in an agency, I had to be on their case about, you know, profitability, like you mentioned, about making sure that, you know, these projects are priced properly or, you know, it's staffed properly or it's, you know, efficiencies and all this sort of stuff, like forecasting, budgets and all that. And usually when they work in-house, they're kind of like, yeah, it's all right. It'll sort itself out. It's not, you know, whatever. Because at the end of the day, like you said, you get paid either ways, right? Whether the business is profitable or not, you get paid. But, you know, I think that mindset shift has to happen when you go to running your own agency, because everything's on you now. If it doesn't make money, that's on you. If it, you know, that sort of stuff. So I'm curious to know if you experienced any of that sort of mindset or behavioral shift, you know?
Yeah. I think so, but I think actually also in a way, it did definitely feel like it was all on me, but then it was also, oh, hang on, I can do things the way I want to do them. And I think actually working in a big agency, there were things that frustrated me, but they were just done because they were done that way. And because it was easier to have a process that everyone has to do it this way. And it took me a little bit of time, I think, to break out of some of those and to go, well, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. I can do it differently. Because, for example, the way we track time at my old agency just did not make sense. It was, and we never quite understood as sort of maybe the medium level, the junior level. It didn't really always get fully communicated back what it meant. So you then thought, well, actually, could they have asked us to improve a bit more? So I think we did get some very top line figures, but it never got broken down as to, hang on, it's that particular aspect that maybe took a bit too much time, or what is it here that perhaps should we've allocated more time, or should there have been a better handover? There was never that kind of ongoing conversation, and it makes me wonder, well, actually, they could have been even more profitable if there had been more of that. But I think it was taking on, having to do every single one of those roles, it was a big mindset shift, and one that absolutely led to sleepless nights, panic, and I think a lot of, I think a lot of people, agency leaders and founders and owners, but a lot of imposter syndrome where you think, am I getting this wrong? Is everyone else on it? Everyone else knows what they're doing. They're just doing it so well, so successfully. It's just me who's getting wrong. And I think, obviously, meeting you at the Cactus mini MBA sessions and meeting everyone else around the room, it was very reassuring to go, oh, but it took me a long time, obviously, to realise that. But speaking now as well to so many other people, I think it's a real commonality in other agencies where everyone doesn't quite have that reassurance. Everyone's got that inner turmoil about, hang on a second, am I doing that? But I think also in a way that's what fuels you. The constant kind of panic and kind of thinking, I need to improve, I need to do better. And the hyper-focus on lots of different things. It can be a bit too hyper-focused sometimes, but I think when you're in a bigger agency and a role where you're not having to lead it, it doesn't come back to accountability just on you. I think that actually has an impact, which I think doesn't benefit them, which you do get from if you're leading it.
I think everyone does, or most people do, have that imposter syndrome. What I found really helps is, you mentioned the community thing, right? So just being with other people that are in your situation, because things like LinkedIn don't make it any easier, because LinkedIn, I always say to everybody, LinkedIn is the Instagram of business. Because on LinkedIn, everybody's doing great. Everyone's amazing. Their business is fine. You know, all this sort of stuff. But if everyone's doing that well, then who's not, right? So so I think being a part of some sort of like community and space where there are other people like you is definitely beneficial. So you strike me as someone who is, well, we've established now, you do have an entrepreneur deep inside you, even before we create, but you seem to be solution driven as well. So you mentioned a lot of challenges when you started We Create Digital, and you mentioned challenges through like process and things like that. So some of those challenges, what led you to create Refinery, and tell us about Refinery?
Absolutely. So Refinery is our go-to platform that manages everything. It's the single source of truth. It connects all of our data. It connects all of our team members. It connects all of the finances, all of the figures. We started it a number of years ago because we just couldn't find a tool or a platform that worked for us. So I mentioned earlier that we tried to look around, but they're either too expensive. They're built in tiers where to actually get the things that you needed, you'd have to go to the top tier straight away, even though you only needed one aspect of that. Or, for example, you'd want the feature, which would be the bottom tier, but then you want the reporting of that feature, which is the top tier. And user minimums just ruled us out of so many different platforms. So we actually just made our own. We went, well, we're designers, we're developers, let's just create it as it works for us. And then over time, especially as we grew, as we got bigger, we had greater needs, or we discovered there were new pain points that we had to try to manage. So as we took on more team members, the resourcing calendar needed to be better. Mm. It needed to be easier, quicker, more efficient. It needed to reflect capacity. It needed to reflect the hours allocated to a project. So that then grew. And then the more we talked about it with other people or other agencies, the more they would say things like, oh, where is this system? We go, oh no, it's our system. Okay, well, can we use your system? Well, oh, no, but maybe in the future. And then maybe in the future turned into, right, let's just do this.
Yeah.
And we're very solutions focused as a team. That's how we approach our client work. Mm-hmm. So whenever a client comes to us, we don't say, great, you want a website, what do you want it to look like? We go, what's the website trying to do? What problems do you have? How can we use that, the website, as a solution rather than as a let's just make it do something for the sake of it? Yeah. We've actually had clients where we said, no, you don't need a new website. You need to improve your current one. So we always do look at the solution mm-hmm. and what's best. So we took it from there. So every feature that we've added, it's been because it solves a problem. Mm-hmm. It takes away a spreadsheet. We're down to hardly any spreadsheets now.
Nice.
And it's the amount of time it saves, not having to update spreadsheets. Everything's in real time. Mm-hmm. It means that every single team member as well, they're all bought in, they're all on the system. Everything connects. So you don't have individual data silos.
Yeah.
So for example, even our system has HR aspects to it. So we're not having to worry about, oh, hang on, how do I get someone to ask for time off? But then how do I link it up with the resource calendar? So for Refinery, it was so crucial that it didn't just fix our pain points, though we're only one agency. Every agency does things slightly differently. And obviously we're a web agency, but there are PR agencies, advertising, huge range. We wanted to be able to work for every single one, mm-hmm. essentially any agency that works on selling time.
Yeah.
And so that was what we worked backwards from. We went, how can we look at what the problems are that they're facing as well? And how can we make sure that Refinery works for them?
Yeah, amazing. Everything you said there, of course, I can identify with because obviously I've been in this space for a very long time, and both the big agencies and the small agencies all have the same challenge of visibility, right? Yeah. So that's one thing I preach a lot about, is visibility over not just your finances, not just your numbers, but just the operation. How are people delivering things, and how are things working? At the end of the day, it is a business, so profitability is a big part of that.
Yeah.
How are you tracking profitability and everything, you know, that goes with profitability? So I hear you, and I hear the part about, because what, as I consult for people, what they usually ask me is, what system can we be using?
Yeah.
Now the challenge is, if you're a big enough agency, there are a few you could use mm-hmm. because you can afford them, or you are of the right size. But for most other agencies, they're either too small, or those other CRMs don't do a big amount of what they need it to do,
yeah.
right? So that is a general challenge for a lot of these agencies, right? So yeah, Refinery obviously does a lot of these things, so I get that. So what challenges have you had building Refinery? Because that's something that's yours and fits, you know, it started off fitting your business, which I guess is an advantage, because I listen to a lot of entrepreneurs talk about how they started their businesses or products, and mm-hmm. it usually comes from necessity.
Yeah.
It was something that they needed, something, you know, they had to have to run their business. They built it and then found that there was a wider need for it, right? Mm-hmm. So in your case, what were some of the challenges with building Refinery and implementing it?
I think we were very good at spotting sort of the day-to-day issues and pain points. So things like a CRM, mm-hmm. making sure we've got somewhere where we're tracking leads, we're chasing up on them. Those things we're very good at. And as well, speaking to other agencies, those are the things that came up. The thing that we really struggled with was the finance side. And it was because that's not where we have expertise. And it's crucial to everything, because it's great to track time, but then you need to know about what that actually means at mm-hmm. the end of it. And if you can't link it all back to profitability, then you're not going to succeed. Mm-hmm. And really understanding the figures, and not just the figures, but what figures should you put in, what data points should you be collecting, and how that links into everything, finance becomes the kind of that golden thread throughout everything, that if you're missing it, it becomes just like a helpful tool, but not a crucial integral part of your business that can actually help you to grow. And obviously this is where you came in. So obviously I came along to the Cactus mini MBA sessions, and each one I'd kind of ask you a couple of questions, go, oh, okay, so utilization, we should be doing this, right? I'll make a note. But if I hadn't been to your input, then the finance side of Refinery just wouldn't be at the level where it needs to be to actually be able to say to agencies, this is going to solve your problems when it comes to profitability and understanding what your agency needs to do to hit those figures.
Yeah. All right, that's a good segue into, I guess, how we kind of partnered up to work on Refinery, because I think it's an interesting story, so I'll touch on it, but feel free to jump in at any point, because I'm going to tell it from my point of view. So it was, we met at the mini MBA that myself and Gareth run, and I remember from the first session, you were asking me a lot of questions about, you know, utilization and overservicing and all of these things, which, you know, I'm always happy to answer questions.
I was on that those person things. In the room with the hand.
Yeah. And I remember one of the sessions, was even after the session, you stayed back and you were asking me a few questions.
That was a tactical point. Yeah, it was nothing to do with trains. It was, well, hang on, I can get some more time.
Yeah, exactly. Which was fine. And so on, I think it was the third session, that coincidentally was the day when Cactus got liquidated, right? Yeah. So after the session, actually during the session, I think during the break, you'd asked me a few questions about how you do, I think it was something to do with rate cards, I think calculate rate cards or something like that, which I was like, oh, I'll catch you after or something like that. And then after the session, we had the sessions in Leicester Square somewhere. So I'd left the venue, I'd left the hotel, and then I just went back in, and that was when I saw you in there. And then I think you had your laptop open, and then you asked me about Cactus and blah, blah, blah. And like I say, that was the day Cactus got liquidated. Yeah. So we got talking, and then I think the key thing for me was you told me about Refinery, you showed me Refinery, and I was like, this is crazy. And the reason it was crazy is because, so I used to work for a big agency called Weber Shandwick, and while I was at Weber Shandwick, one of the biggest challenges we had, definitely from a commercial perspective, but also an operations perspective, was that all of the tools we used were separate. We had forecasts, which was an Excel sheet. We had our utilization reports that came from a different system. We tracked time on one system. You know, everything was so separate.
Yeah.
So it just meant that, in fact, even our scopes were, you know, in a Word document, right? It was just manually done. So it just meant that things didn't talk to each other. It was time consuming to get things done, to reconcile things. You had to pull this Excel sheet, that Excel sheet, try and reconcile it, all like crazy, right? So when I left Weber, I thought, oh, I'll build something, right, that integrates everything. I'll build a system. And this was well over 6 years, 7 years ago or something like that. And if anyone knows me, one thing I'm not good at is building websites or tech in general, right? That is not really my expertise. So what I did, I kind of got a developer to help me do it, a freelance developer. But they didn't have an agency. They barely knew what an agency was. They just built websites. And so it just meant that every time I told them things, they didn't understand how to explain, how to put it in Excel. It was an absolute nightmare. It was so bad, I just abandoned it. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. Just forget about this. So it was funny, because when you then showed Refinery to me, told me the problems it solved and how it solved them, I was like, wow, this is actually what I've been wanting to build for so many years. And I know that many agencies, not just the big ones, but the smaller ones that I consult for, always ask me, what CRM can we be using? And in my mind, I recommend stuff, but again, they're usually too big for those agencies. The agencies aren't quite there. But with Refinery, it was like, okay, from what you were telling me, okay, it can serve, you know, these small, medium-sized, large agencies, but it is actually solving a problem, which is the key thing. And there was a roadmap to solving that problem, right? It's this, it's that, it's that. And I saw how it all connected, but the gap was the commercial, the finance side you were talking about, which is my expertise,
and
right?
And hence all the questions in various sessions. Yeah.
Then it all made sense when I saw that, right? So I think working with you and Dean on Refinery has been really good, because I feel like it's kind of like a puzzle, right? It's just fitting in the bits and then connecting, and then, you know, now we've got something where it does pretty much everything you need, but it also, from my side, which I'm obviously, anyone who knows what I do and about me, they know, like, I'm heavily focused on profitability. Mm-hmm. So this takes that into account now. We've been able to incorporate that in here to where something like pricing, which again is a big part of profitability and a big part of what I do, you look at pricing and you look at projects that, when you use systems like in Excel, you're just pricing. You don't know whether your project is profitable or it isn't profitable. You just kind of quote a price to a client based on, you know, rates and hours and all that sort of stuff. But now you're able to work out and understand the profitability of each project.
Yeah.
I think just starting from there, that's, you know, a huge game changer for a lot of agencies that don't understand their pricing, and even being able to kind of calculate the pricing. Then you talk about the leads and the resourcing and managing the profitability through the life of the project. It's just so much stuff that Refinery does. So really, when you explained it to me, it was just like a no-brainer. I was like, yeah, I have to be involved in this, because you know, it is something, you know, people do need. So
I think it was the timing of it was just unbelievable, that obviously we did that session that day. We didn't realise it was the final session. We went through all of it, and then everyone had left. I hung back just to get a bit of work done, and then got the email saying Cactus is gone. And then you just walked back in. And I just went, what's going on? And obviously that got down, kind of turned into a conversation about, well, what are you going to do next? Mm. And what's going to happen to the sessions? And okay, well, if we're not going to have any more, can I get a quick, can I get another quick question in? And actually, if I show it to you, it's easier than just me asking. And then 1 hour later, that was it. It was kind of, well, you're on board.
Yeah. Yeah, no, honestly, it's been, like I say, building, the process of it has been good. And honestly, I can't wait to get it into the hands of agencies, because I know, irrespective of the size, I know for certain they need this stuff.
It's,
and like, I'm not a big fan of endorsing things or unless I truly believe in it. And I'm a huge fan of... you know, solving problems and adding value, right? Mm-hmm. That's key to me, right? So I wouldn't have got involved in this if I didn't think it was a genuine problem solver, right? And something people needed, right? And hence my involvement to try and get it there, you know, from a profitability, you know, commercial perspective. So honestly, I'm really excited about it. It's been good so far. So can't wait for the launch.
I think the thing that we're most excited about is that we can see the potential for how it can help so many different agencies of different size, sector, whatever it is that they offer. Because we've been there where we've been a much smaller agency and we've just felt like there's nothing there for us because it's just so expensive and we don't have the budget for that. It could work for an agency that is small. It could work for an agency that is bigger. It could work for an agency who's aiming to grow and take off, because we're not trying to maximize the price, do a whole call for price as well. We're trying to be really transparent and put into the plan everything an agency needs. We're not trying to look something out and go, oh, you've got to upgrade to get that. We're not the kind of people, the kind of agency who overhype, who try to say we can do one thing, even though we haven't got any kind of expertise in this. We've been building this tool for years. It's worked for us, it's helped us to grow. The financial side now is making a massive difference straight away. And just knowing that there are agencies out there who are still relying on spreadsheets and who probably still get to the end of the month and go, well, hang on, the figures aren't quite adding up, what's gone wrong here? And I've had that where I've had nights going, I just don't understand what happened on this project and I can't drill down to where it is. It's gonna help with that. And also I think there's a big thing about time tracking. Time tracking is a huge issue for so many agencies. I mean, where I used to work, the way it was done was you could manually enter pretty much anything and you think, well, it's not truly reflective then. And I think actually having this approach where we build in time tracking, so it's so easy to use. And we use it in a way that our team are keen to use it because they can see, well, actually, hang on a second, I spent a bit more time there. By the way, in future, could you quote a bit more for that on that client? Because clearly for example, we need to test that feature out more because we know that it's got extra dependencies. That's how they see it. They don't see it as we're monitoring. They see it as a tool to help them be better at their work. And obviously, in the end, it all ends up with hopefully we're more profitable. If we're more profitable, we can do pay rises, we can do bonuses. And I've seen it, obviously, from a point of view then of every single member in our team and how we can talk about it. And it's not just as an agency and how does it make me more profitable, but how it supports everyone. So it's a tool that doesn't just make you as an agency owner go, great, I can now really figure out my profitability problem or my utilization or my future utilization. It's actually a team-wide tool. And I think that's the thing that we're hoping when we share it with agencies, they can go, right, put this in place, everyone's using it, and it's just ticking all the boxes, and it's a smooth process. And we genuinely think it will be like that because that's what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think so as well. So the time tracking piece you talk about is a big one.
Yeah.
Huge for agencies.
Yeah.
Some agencies don't subscribe to time tracking, which, is what it is.
Yeah.
Definitely not me. I can't see how you run an agency with it. And just to be clear, because I know people are sensitive about time tracking, I'm not talking about billing time, I'm talking about tracking time. Two completely different things, which we can have a whole session on, right? That's something else. But just being able to, you know, track that time and measure it against the pricing and the resourcing you've done is key. But what I do like about Refinery, and when you showed it to me first, was just the way in which you track the time and the ease at which you do it. Because two big problems with time tracking. One is a lot of agencies, the users kind of look at it and go, oh, it's just too hard to track. Another thing is, I can't remember what I did yesterday or even 2 hours ago for me to put this into a timesheet. Therefore, they just put in any rubbish they want, right? Or put it wherever they want to put it. So it doesn't, it's not reflective of the actual work. But because of the way Refinery is built and the ease at which you can track the time and it corresponds with the specific tasks you've worked on, it mitigates a lot of those problems of garbage in, garbage out, because now the time entry is a lot more accurate because of the way it's tracked. And you know, when people get to use it, they'll know what I mean. But I think that makes it so much easier and so much more accurate. It eliminates a lot of the problems with time tracking, which is incredible, because I talk a lot about time tracking and I've always done that, because to me, time tracking is the, that is the way you measure the cost to a project, right? And if whatever business you are, if you tell me you don't measure and manage your cost, then I tell you you're a business that's not profitable. Or if you are profitable, you're just lucky to be profitable, but it's, there's no intention behind it, right? So I definitely like that element. So
I think that's that's the biggest one, I think, for me, that makes a difference within the team and not just within me as an owner, founder, leader. Because the team being able to see it, so you can see it in real time. You can easily see it's a nice little visual. You can see how much time is spent versus how much time has been allocated. You can see the breakdown between, for example, for us, if it's a web development project, you can see the time spent on design versus development. But everyone knows then where they are within the project at all times, rather than you submit time into a timesheet and off it goes. Because then you don't know how you're doing and you're kind of thinking, well, actually, hang on, have I taken to it too long or am I on track? And then actually it feels like you've lost control of it, where now how it works is if the team can see it, they can go, hang on, I've spent a bit too long on this. Right, I need to think about what my next steps are. And I think that's so crucial to getting that buy-in, but also to getting everyone to understand and see, right, this is what it means. I think until you have that visual, that overview, I think it's very hard to understand it as a team member who's maybe not having to then look at the finance side. And I mean, I think one thing that as well I hear a lot of is that people, they don't see these figures or they don't even look and report on the figures till the end of the month. And it's too late. Sometimes it's way too late. Whereas our system we can set up daily progress reports, which tells you how much time an individual spent on a project or how much time was spent on a client. Or you can tailor it so it's about actually and what tasks were completed. But then also you can get reports sent to you when you hit a certain amount of hours. So when you hit 50% of the hours, you can get reports, you go, okay, so it's 50%, have I done 50% of the work? And that's at the point before it's got out of control. And that's the crucial thing that everyone in the team wants to see, because no one wants to have this knock-on effect where then we're rushing to catch up, right at the end, because we suddenly realise it's over, or we get to the end, we do a retrospective, and we go, oh guys, what happened? This isn't good. Like, look at the hours. Yeah. This has gone way over. But also, I think for us, team burnout's really important. And it's something that we've worked to try to do where when we quote, we want to make sure we're giving the accurate amount of time, not just for profitability, but so then the team aren't feeling that they're squeezed and are pushed and rushed. Mm. So that if they say to us, actually, no, I needed more time on this, it wasn't that I took too long, it's that I don't think it was enough time allocated, we can address it in the future, give them that time, and then it's a lot easier for them in terms of managing their day-to-day and managing their stress levels. Yeah. So I think it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
And it just makes it so easy for everyone involved.
That it does. I can definitely attest to that. But how has your team, of course, the benefit to all, or one of the benefits is that you actually run an agency.
Yeah.
So you can live test this system. So how has your team taken to it?
It's got to the point where we were actually having team members go, right, when can we fully migrate to the new system? Because we were working on our old system that we'd set up, been working on. When we decided to actually create Refinery as a tool to sell out and to bring other agencies into, we said, right, we're going to focus on that. Instead of just improving our tool, we're going to work there. And then everyone's going, but when can we move to the new tool? Yeah. When can we get onto it? And we haven't had to worry about buy-in. I think obviously they're the ones who've been designing and building it. But because of that, they've been going, oh, can we have this feature? Or can we do this? And this is why it's great, because it's not built and designed by me as an agency leader and going, I need this from profitability. Mm. It's them going, this would make my job easier. Mm-hmm. So we've really tried to take into account anything that they've come up with and any pain points that they have as not the admins, but the day-to-day users. So they've been on board from the start. Nice. But I think communication and explaining the different aspects, that's been crucial to it.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, the few people I have mentioned it to, of course, we haven't launched it at this point, but just mention the functionality and the benefits of it have just been over the moon. So really looking forward to people actually, you know, trying it. So tell me, what's next then? What's next for Refinery?
So obviously at the point of speaking, it's not yet launched, but it will be launching. So we're going ahead with the beta launch.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get a small group of beta users so we can really work with them to make sure that it's obviously been developed by us. We're one agency, we know a lot of the problems, but we want to see how everyone else takes it and go, actually, I think you need to do this slightly differently. Or, I know you said this feature's coming later, but I think this is more of a priority. So we can listen and hear what their problems are and get those solutions in place. So we're going to have a 2-month beta phase and then 2026, full launch.
Nice.
So we've already done several demos, got more demos lined up. At this point, if everyone who's done a demo decided to be a beta user, we're full. But we want to launch it out and see what happens, see what people come back with, have a waiting list. So we know that as soon as we're ready to go, we can get those people at the top of the waiting list, get them onboarded as well, nice and quickly.
Yep.
So it's going to be a busy end of the year.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's good. Well, thank you very much, Anna. I really appreciate the conversation. And like I say, really looking forward to, you know, where Refinery can go, because I know it will definitely help a lot of agencies.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see the progression and the trajectory of Refinery. Yeah. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Nice.